God's Word Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nivert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nivert.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Repentance for the Remission of Sins. Now there is such a thing as sin and sins. Sins against God. And thank God there is such a thing as the remission of sins. The full, free forgiveness of sins. I'm so thankful for that. But did you know that most people, you may be one of them, believe that salvation ends with the forgiveness of sins? If I do this and straighten up my life and stop doing that and repent and believe, I will be rewarded with the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins comes at the end of the things that I do. If I do the right things, I will have the forgiveness of sins. But did you know that that is not true? Salvation, God's salvation, does not end with the forgiveness of sins. Actually, that kind of thinking is a belief in salvation by works. Forgiveness being dependent upon what you do rather than what Christ has done. Salvation does not end with the forgiveness of sins. Salvation begins with the full, free, frank forgiveness of sins. You don't do something to be forgiven. You find out you've been forgiven by what someone has done for you. Salvation is not what you do for God. Salvation is what God does for you. Now, in Luke chapter 3, we have the opening of the public ministry of John the Baptist. And he is the one who came preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, I'd like to start reading in Luke chapter 3, verse 1, when Luke tells us about the political climate of the world when John the Baptist entered. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas being high priests. 7 men are mentioned, and these men make up the who's who in the Hall of Shame. All of these men were known for extreme corruption and wickedness. The fact that there were 2 high priests lets us know that this office had degenerated into a purely political thing, because in the Bible there's only 1 high priest. And so one was appointed for political reasons. The world had never known darker times, politically or spiritually, and in the midst of this darkness, the Word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. John was the one to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the cousin of Christ. He was 6 months older than Christ. He's the one that was prophesied in Isaiah, in Malachi, who would prepare the way of the Lord. He's the one to announce the way of the Lord. He's the last Old Testament prophet. He's the first New Testament preacher. And the Word of God came to him. He didn't put himself into this office. The Word of God came to him. Not the Word of man, but the Word of God. Not man's opinions, but the Word of God. Now, this is what I want to hear. The Word of God. I'm not interested in hearing what man has to say. I want to hear what God has to say. And I want to preach the Word of God. John came declaring the Word of God. Now, if God's Word comes to a man and he's truly proclaiming God's word, two things can be said about that man. He preaches with boldness, and he preaches with meekness. He preaches with boldness because he's declaring God's word. This is not my opinion. These are not my thoughts. This is the divine word of God. A message not so much to be proved, but to be believed. The word of God. But he brings this message in meekness. If the word of God comes to a man, he's aware of his own weakness and sinfulness and need of grace. So the word is proclaimed with boldness and with meekness. Boldness without meekness turns into arrogance. Meekness without boldness is weakness. And John the Baptist is a great type of the preaching of the gospel. He came with the word of God, and the word of God came to him in the wilderness. Not in the temple or synagogue, not in the hallowed halls of academia, not from a seminary, but in the wilderness. The scripture says in verse 3, he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now we need to do some defining of the terms here. What does the Bible mean by this word baptism? He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Baptism means immersion, submergence, and emergence. Immersion, going down into the water. Submersion, being all the way under the water. Emergence, coming back up out of the water. That's what the word means. And it's given to typify the gospel. Baptism, when I'm baptized, here's what I'm confessing. When I go under the water and come back out, I say my hope of being saved is that when Christ lived, he lived for me. And he obeyed the law for me. And when he died, I was in him, and he died for me. And my sins were put away by what he did. And when he was raised from the dead, I was in him. He was raised for our justification. You see, baptism pictures the gospel. Salvation because of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about this word repentance? He came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Most people view repentance as you being real sorry for your sin and you don't do it anymore. And if you do it again, you weren't really sincere in your repentance. Repentance is being sorry and not doing it anymore. The question that comes to my mind is how sorry is sorry enough? And what sin have you totally quit? Have you ever quit being proud? Have you ever totally gained control of your anger? Are you no longer self-righteous? Do you no longer just go on and on and on? If that's what it means, which it's not. Now, don't get me wrong. We ought to be sorry of our sin. I am sorry about my sin, and we ought not sin anymore. We ought to make it our purpose to never sin again. These things cry unto you that you sin not. But repentance means a change of mind. That's what the word means by definition. You repent when your mind is changed. You used to believe something, and you don't believe that anymore. You've repented and even renounced what you used to believe. You believe something differently. A change of mind, the baptism of a change of mind for the remission of sins. Now, that word for is quite often translated in the Scriptures concerning. It doesn't mean you are baptized in order to get the remission of sins. It doesn't mean you repent in order to get the remission of sins. It's a change of mind concerning the remission of sins. Everybody naturally believes that the remission or the forgiveness of sins comes at the end of salvation. If I do this, 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 and this, I will be forgiven. I repent of that kind of thinking. That's salvation by works. Salvation begins with the full, free, frank forgiveness of sins. Now, how are sins forgiven? How are sins remitted? If God does something for me and if He does something for you, we're going to have a change of mind concerning the remission of sins. How are sins forgiven? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world. He was before He came. He's the eternal Son of God, the uncreated being, God the Son. He came into the world and was made flesh. God became man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did He do this? Why did He come in the flesh? He came to save His people from their sins, Matthew 1:21 tells us. Now, in the flesh, He never sinned. He lived 33 years upon this earth, keeping God's law perfectly. He never had a sinful thought. He never had a sinful word. He never had a sinful action. He's the only holy man to ever live. He kept God's law perfectly. He never sinned. Yet, He was nailed to a cross and suffered untold agony and died. Now, why would this happen to someone who never sinned? I can answer that question. The sins of God's elect were imputed to Him. They became His, and He became guilty of them. The reason He died is because He was guilty before God. The wages of sin is death. He had sin because the sins of His people became His sin. He became guilty of the sins of His people. And so God's wrath came down upon Him. That's why He died on the cross. That's why God forsook Him, because He was made sin. But He was raised from the dead. Yes, He died, bearing our sins in His own body, the sins of all of His people, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. He died, but you know the moment He died, His body didn't enter into a process of decay. He never saw corruption. You know why? Because He paid for sins. The justice of God was satisfied. He was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. Now, what is this change of mind concerning the forgiveness or the remission of sin? Now, I believe that I would be giving an accurate assessment of just about everybody by nature. All of us are aware of shortcomings. All of us are aware of failures. All of us are aware of sins. I'm not perfect. I do things that are wrong. I commit sins. And most people believe that God will forgive sins. And they think, well, if I straighten up, if I turn over a new leaf, if I start living right, if I repent of all my sins, if I do whatever it is God's telling me to do, then I will be given the forgiveness of sins. The message that most people believe is God loves you. Christ died for you. God wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And Christ died so that you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. However, forgiveness is ultimately in your hands. God wants to forgive you. He's trying to forgive you. But you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before He can forgive you. He wants to forgive you, but He can't unless you accept His forgiveness. Now, my dear friends, that's foolishness. That's all that is. There's no gospel in that. Christ didn't die to make forgiveness available to me. When Christ said, "It is finished," I was forgiven. All my sin was put away. When Christ said, "It is finished." As far as that goes, the Lord is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the creation of the world, even then He was the Lamb slain. And the only reason for death is sin. Even then He was the substitute and the Savior for His people. You know, before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. He's the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. And you know, when the Lord was hanging on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them," you know what the Father did? He forgave them. He forgave everybody He was praying for. Now, when our Lord said, "Father, forgive them," He wasn't praying for everybody. He said in John chapter 17, verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which You've given Me, for they are Thine." He was praying for His elect. And when He said, "Father, forgive them," the Father forgave every one of them. And when he was raised from the dead, they were all raised in him, justified. Now, in the preaching of the gospel, we don't say God will forgive you if it's a declaration of God's forgiveness. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, we read, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Speak to her intellect, yes, but speak to her emotions. And speak to her will, persuade her concerning this. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. And her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You see, what you find out when you're forgiven is you find out you've been forgiven. That's what hearing the gospel is. You find out you've been forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, the sins of everybody he died for were blotted out. Everybody he died for, they were justified. That means they have no guilt. That means if I'm justified, I never sin. Now somebody says, what are you saying you never sinned? Haven't you sinned? Of course I've sinned. So have you. But if I'm in Christ, if I'm justified, I'm not treated as if I never sinned. In Christ, I never sinned. I'm justified. Therefore, my sins, which I've most certainly committed, are forgiven. This isn't so much understood, but believed and received and rejoiced in. You don't do something to be forgiven. You repent of that kind of thinking. You find out you're forgiven. When Christ died, there was the complete remission of sins for everybody he died for. Hebrews 10:18 says, now where the remission of these is, and there is such a thing as the remission, the putting away of sins. He says, where the remission of these is, there remaineth no more offering for sin. So don't try to bring an offering for sin. You look to Christ only. Now, Luke goes on to quote that passage I read out of Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go back and see what Luke says. He says in verse 3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching, declaring the baptism of repentance, a change of mind concerning the remission of sins, as it is written. Well, we better have an as it's written for anything we believe. This is the Word of God. Remember, John came with the Word of God. Not with the word of man, but the word of God. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, speaking of John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And look what he says next. He says, every valley shall be filled. Every low place. Shall be filled to the full. You know what that means? Everybody, without exception, who is a sinner. And by sinner, I mean, or the Bible means, all you do is sin. That's what the Bible means by that. You don't make mistakes sometimes. You don't transgress sometimes. You realize that if you did it, it's sin. You know, the Scripture actually says the plowing of the wicked is sin. Plowing seems like a wholesome activity, but if a wicked man does it, that makes it sin. You realize that all you do, all you are, is sin. You have no claim on God. If He passes you by, He's absolutely just. Every valley, every low place shall be filled with all the fullness of God. Wherever there's a sinner, like the one I described, there's a complete Savior. And He saves these people completely. They're filled to the full. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are complete. You're filled to the full. You're nothing lacking in Him. Every valley, every low place will be filled. And next He says, and every mountain and hill, every high place shall be brought low, shall be abased. How much room is there for human righteousness in God's salvation? How much room is there for pride, something I can take pride in, something that I've done? How much room is there for self-righteousness and creature ability in God's salvation? Absolutely none. Every high place is going to be brought down. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, human reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought I have is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ is my righteousness before God. My motive for serving God is because His obedience is my righteousness. And any thought contrary to the obedience of Christ is going to be pulled down. Here's the one reason I'm saved, because of the obedience of Christ. The obedience of His life, that's my righteousness before God. The obedience of His death, He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's how He put away my sin. Every thought, every high thing is to be brought down into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then next He says in verse 5, "And the crooked shall be made straight." Every valley, every low place is going to be filled and exalted. Every high place is going to be brought down and leveled and abased, and the crooked shall be made straight. Now, what does that mean? Crooked means morally perverse. That's what crookedness is. Morally perverse. The crooked shall be made straight. Now, how's that? How's that? Not only did Christ die for me, but in time, I was born again. I was given a new heart. I was given a new nature. That's the nature that believes. That's the nature that loves. And someone who hears the gospel and thinks, well, I can just go on and no change in my life. Salvation is by grace. I'm saved by the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, I don't need to worry about my conduct, my attitude. I can just live as I please. I can live as sinful. It doesn't make any difference since salvation is by grace. Somebody like that's never heard the gospel. That's so contrary to the gospel. No, the crooked shall be made straight. People who once hated God now love Him. They love holiness. They love obedience. They love walking with Him. The crooked shall be made straight. And then the next thing He says is the rough ways shall be made smooth. The rocky paths are going to be cleared away and made smooth. Now, how is that? Well, the obstacles are removed when someone asks the question, what must I do to be saved? They're given the correct answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you rely on Christ, you are saved. You're saved from your sin. You're saved from the penalty of sin. You're saved from the power of sin. You're saved from the very presence of sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're actually said to be glorified already in Him. Whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Our Lord said in John 6:29, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent." Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how far away you may feel. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you rely on who He is and what He did as all that's needed to make you perfect before God, you're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not, well, you need to get your life straightened out, you need to do this, you need to stop doing that, and once you do that, then you can start getting on the rut. No, all that's cleared away. Believe. Only believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him only. Look to Him only, and thou shalt be saved. The rough ways shall be made smooth. And then He said in verse 6, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." All flesh. Saved flesh, lost flesh. Everybody's going to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's salvation. The Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 2, "Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Once again, it's a reference to eternal life for those the Father gave Him, His elect. All flesh is going to see the salvation of God. Unbeliever, you who trust in the works of the flesh and reject the way of salvation by grace, you who see no safety in simply trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you who do not believe that His precious blood actually accomplished salvation, you who seek to earn God's favor by the things you do, you are going to be made to see that He is salvation. And the one you rejected is the only one who could save you. You can't be saved by your works. And if you die in that condition, you will spend eternity suffering the wrath of God. And you're going to know very clearly that Christ is God's salvation. Believer, you see He's God's salvation right now. And you trust Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "Of Him are you in Christ Jesus." This is speaking to every believer, and that's the place of every believer. You're in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism signifies. When He lived, I lived. When He died, I died. When He was raised, I was raised. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." We see God's salvation, and I know how God can love me. I know how I'm accepted. I know how my sins are forgiven through God's salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John came preaching the baptism of a change of mind regarding the remission of sins. Has your mind been changed by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in you regarding the remission of sins? Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.